Good morning, scoreboard. I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Coming off a night of high school football, Huron Tigers homecoming game had the Sturgis Scoopers on the field. Tight game all the way. We were tied at 7 for much of the game. Sturgis took a 10-7 lead in the fourth quarter on a field goal. Huron responded after a possession and took the lead with a 74-yard touchdown pass from Colton McNeil to Gavin Moding. Sturgis got the ball back a couple of times, got into Huron territory, but never threatened to score, and Huron held on for the 14-10 win. Huron scores, as I said, Colton McNeil to Gavin Moding. Cashin Caudill scored Huron's other touchdown on a 7-yard run in the first quarter. McNeil was 13 of 26 for 186 yards passing and the touchdown. Logan Leyendecker and Caudill each had an interception. Holden Haig led Huron defensively. Last night, Huron now 2-2 on the season. They travel to Aberdeen tomorrow. Here on KOKK, we had an area matchup. Woonsocket at Westington Springs, Sanborn Central at Miller Highmore Herald. It was all Blackhawks last night. They stayed undefeated as they shut out the Rustlers 41-0. Woonsocket at Westington Springs, Sanborn Central now 4-0 on the season. Holden Havlick, 4 touchdown passes, 2 to Blake Larson and 1 to Brock Kruger and Bryce Larson. Blake Larson threw another touchdown pass to Kruger. Havlick added a 40-yard touchdown run. Havlick was 12 of 17 passing for 215 yards. Ryder Mihalik had 5 catches for 113 yards. Miller Highmore Herald drops to 2-3 on the season. Colby Colder rushed 8 times for 60 yards. Isaac Hunter had 4 catches for 82 yards. A defensive battle had DeSmit defeat Woolsey Wessington 14-6. Bulldogs' Britt Carlson rushed for a score and threw a touchdown pass to Tom Augenbaugh. For Woolsey Wessington, Moshe Richmond had a touchdown rushing. Other scores in area, top five class matchup in Class 9B. Avon led all the way but held off a late rally and edged Hitchcock 2, Lair 32-28. Patriots had a chance to take the lead at the end of the game, had the ball, but looks like they only got to about the 40-yard line before Avon held to win. Dubrook defeated Iroquois Lake Preston, shut out 50-0. That's our area scores. Double A and Triple A scores last night. T area defeated Douglas 66-8. Pierce scored 2 touchdowns late in the game to break away from Yankton 27-14. Spearfish shut out Brookings 31-0. Watertown won a Double A Triple A battle 41-27 over Washington. In Triple A, Lincoln 35, Harrisburg 20. O'Gorman shut out Stevens 47-0. Jefferson shut out Rapid City Central 41-0. Boys golf yesterday, Huron Tigers at the Mitchell Invitational. Aiden Zaveski had an 86 to lead Huron. That was tied for 66. Jack Bales a 91. Colton Ogle 100. Riley Jankard had a 108. Mac Drake of O'Gorman was medalist with a 71. Harrisburg won the team title by a stroke over O'Gorman. Boys soccer, long road trip for James Valley Christian, but they came up with a win. They defeated Hot Springs yesterday 4-1. A look at the schedule for today. It's going to be a busy day here in Huron as the Tigers host the annual Clyde Cotton Invitational. Last count, 22 teams will be running today, varsity, JV, and the middle school. And that's all out at Broadland Creek today. Tennis, the Huron Tiger girls play the two Rapid City schools, Central and Stevens, albeit up in Aberdeen. Cheer and dance, Huron girls are headed to the Brookings Invitational. Soccer, Huron girls and boys are at Sioux Falls Jefferson today. James Valley Christian is at Custer to complete their West River trip. Volleyball, Saturdays usually mean tournaments. Big Dakota Conference tournament is in Fort Pierre today. James Valley Christian will be at the Hamlin Tournament today. Iroquois Lake Preston hosting their annual Invitational. And also Sanborn Central Woonsockets at Oldham Ramona Rutland. Football Sunshine Bible is at Great Plains Lutheran. And that is the rundown of our local schedule for today. Minnesota Twins continue their winning stretch for a second game in a row. They defeated the White Sox by a score of 10-2, and how about that Royce Lewis, another grand slam. With the recap, here's Chris Atterbury.
Well, on the south side of Chicago, the Minnesota Twins were happy to welcome Bailey Ober back to the big leagues. He went five innings, gave up just two runs on six hits, and picked up a victory in his return to the big league club. Meanwhile, offensively for the Minnesota Twins, it was who else but Royce Lewis to blow the game open in the second. 3-1. Swung on and hit high and deep. Left field and gone. Grand slam number five for Mr. Grand Slam, Royce Lewis. 4-0 Twins. His remarkable season continues. The Twins without a run in the third, another in the fourth. A four-run ninth inning, three hits for Alex Kirilloff. Carlos Correa knocks in a couple of runs, a couple of hits for Max Kepler. Everyone gets involved as the Twins blow out a disinterested bunch of White Sox. 10-2 the final, and the magic number seven on your home for Twins baseball.
They'll try to lower the number again tonight. Pablo Lopez on the mound for the Twins. Pregame is at 5:30 here on KOKK. Coming up this morning, Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll talk football with Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central coach Ken Heater. Also with Drew Strand, head coach of the Huron Tigers. We'll preview today's big cross-country meet out of Broadland Creek with Huron Tiger cross-country coach Angie Thomas. And a little more on the Twins' win last night as they continue the drive towards the postseason. That's your Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 8 minutes after 6 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
We are here with Rich Bragg from Slumberland Furniture in Huron. And Rich, the Labor Day sale continues here at Slumberland.
That's right. We're so excited to have the state fair in Huron. And so that means all of us got out and enjoyed our fair food. But maybe that means you didn't have time to come into Slumberland and take advantage of these great deals. So I have so many people asking, hey, can I still get those great Labor Day sale prices? And the answer is yes. The sale continues here at Slumberland. We're honoring all of our Labor Day prices. We have up to 60% off list price throughout the entire store. We have amazing doorbuster specials. We have some mattress specials that are just phenomenal. The power bases where the head lifts up so you can adjust the bed, those start as low as $4.99 for a queen. We've got queen-size mattresses starting as low as $1.49. But I do want to say a couple of the doorbusters are limited quantities. So we have had one or two of the items that have now run out, and there's a few others that we're close on. The 60% off store-wide does continue through the 19th, but I would say you better hurry up because some of these doorbusters are selling out. We want to get in and get as many people to get a great deal on their new furniture as we can.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
First up, Dakota Sports Saturday. We'll talk high school football with the head coach of Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central, Ken Heater. He's at his second year as head coach of the Blackhawks. They're off to a 4-0 start after a 41-0 shutout win last night on KOKK over Miller, Highmore Herald. And coach, let's first talk about coming back here now, basically your home country, of course, a graduate native of the Alpena area. When you left Hitchcock Tool there a few years back, you had kind of told me then it's time to raise a family and retire, but boy, the old fires looks like they keep burning. You spent some time at Kimball White Lake, and now here you are in Wessington Springs, still coaching.
Oh, I do. I'm having a lot of fun. When I took this job last year, I told a lot of people it was kind of like coming back home, and that's how it's felt, and it's been a nice start to a run here, and we're excited about our year. And
well, I think right out the door of the first game, you kind of made your statement. Mount Vernon Plankinton, who's always been good, you're able to get them to open the season. And, of course, they've been doing well since. So that was a good way to start off the year.
Yeah, a really good program. You know, they've you know, you could say be a top five program the last number of years. And they graduated their star, Reed Rust, and some other good seniors with him. But the coaches are still there. And then you look at what they've done after our game, you know, they've beaten a couple pretty good teams on the way to, I think they're sitting 3-1 right now. So, yes, that was a big win when you beat a program like that. And I'll throw the McCook game last week into the same breath. And McCook Central is another good program. Those are the two teams that beat us last year regular season. And we've been able to turn that around and get wins against them this year. So we're excited about the direction we're heading, but still plenty to improve on and to just simply get better at.
Well, Coach, you can run down some of your key personnel. It looks like you have a couple of kids on the offensive side of the ball that are versatile and are also putting up some pretty decent numbers, starting with your quarterback.
Offensively, our quarterback, Holden Havlick, 6'3", 215-pound junior. Holden is now a three-year starter at quarterback, and he's putting up real good numbers. He's always had an extremely strong arm, and the huge improvement this year is the way he's running the football. He played last year with a kneecap that had to have a brace that would slide out of place, so he was not 100% healthy last year. He had surgery, got that corrected, and boy, the difference of his running game is evident. He is getting close to 8 yards a carry on the year. We've got a real good running back in Tyson Eddy. Tyson, I think, is getting around 80 yards a game, 5 yards a pop. 175 pounds, but he is he's a physical 175. He's got nice speed. He's putting out a real good year. I think he's got 5 touchdowns in the first 3 games. And then we have a pair of receivers in Ryder Mahalik, Blake Larson, that are tremendous athletes. And, you know, people in the area will know them for their basketball ability, just all-around athletes who can catch the football. Blake is versatile enough. He's got some quarterback experience in his background, and we use him at times as an RPO quarterback, where he has a run-pass option. Those 4 kids are putting up really good numbers and are big-time weapons for us.
You know, on Miller Highmore Herald last night, they're a kind of a young team, maybe it's shown at times early in the season, but they have picked up a couple of wins, and, you know, they gave you a nice battle last night.
They look good. I mean, they're big up front. They've got a good running back. Their sophomore quarterback does a nice job of throwing the ball, and in receiver Hunter, he's one of the better receivers in the state. That kid, 6'3", and can really go get the football. They look good.
And finally, back where we started, you're back home. Of course, you grew up in Alpena, been in the area so long, coached in the area so long. Sure, you're just starting to come back up with some people that you used to know. And like I found when I do the 2-81 basketball tournament, there's a lot of kids playing where I did their parents' game.
Yes, certainly. And it's just kind of, I don't know, the phase of life, but I'm now coaching sons of players that I was either an assistant coach for, 20, 25 years ago. And so in that regard, it's fun. Know a lot of people in the area, all three, Weston and Springs, Woonsocket, and Sanborn. And just a lot of good relationships in the area, and it's just an ideal job to step back into. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and we're excited. We're trying to I thought we ended last year maybe as around a top 10 team in the state, and now, we're trying to climb into that top 5 and become a contender, and that's what we're chasing.
Ken Heater, head coach, Woonsocket, Westington Springs, Sanborn Central. The Blackhawks now 4-0 in Class 11B after a 41-0 shutout win on KOKK last night over Miller Highmore Herald. Blackhawks now return home, and, well, it's another one of those matchups that's a mouthful just to say, but you get a lot of those with all the co-ops and consolidations these days. Woonsocket, Westington Springs, Sanborn Central will host Trip, Delmont Armor, Andy Central, Dakota Christian next Friday in Westington Springs. As I said, a mouthful, but again, the Blackhawks at 4-0 on the season. We still have more football with Huron Tigers. Also, a big cross-country meet in Huron today, and we'll talk to Coach Angie Thomas about that as well. It's all coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We are back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Big day for Huron Tiger Cross Country, hosting their annual invitational, the Clyde Cotton Invitational, out at Broadland Creek. And boy, are we going to have a lot of visitors in town today. We'll get to that coming up. Right now, though, we talk with Angie Thomas, head cross country coach for Huron. And Angie, just give us some of the specifics, kids you have out, and how the numbers looking this year.
Yeah, our numbers are, you know, kind of normal how they have been in the past. I will say our boys team, I have a lot of younger kids, but I also have some veteran athletes out too. So our boys team, you know, looks, our numbers are much better on the boys side. We still could use some more girls coming out, and, you know, I welcome them at any time. But we have a good core set that have been with me since they were in sixth grade, and that's always good to see.
You know, we'll just start with the girls' side, and Josie Vlieger and Tatum Peterson been kind of the leading the way for you there. And, of course, they've been, you know, Tatum in particular, since she's a senior, been running for you a long time already.
Yeah, she has. And Tatum has been a good leader this year. Whenever we have our practices, she works hard in practice. She's a good leader. Josie, she's up there running with the boys. There are days that, on our easy runs, we have to make Josie hang back and make sure it's an easy run for her. But, you know, Josie has put in a lot of miles over the summer, and that's paying off for her. And like I said, with Tatum, she's just a good leader out there. She's been positive. She works hard in practice, and that's a good thing for those younger girls to see.
And right now, that you mentioned the younger girls, I haven't really filled out that varsity lineup yet, just giving some the younger girls' experience at the lower level with, I imagine, a chance to move them up then at the end of the year.
Yeah, we have a couple freshmen out, Lily Meyer and Nora Pester, who they're freshmen this year. They've been running since sixth grade, and they did participate in the state meet last year. Actually, the last couple years, I believe, they competed at the state meet. They just need more miles under their belt. They didn't get a ton over the summer. Nora got more than Lily did, but yeah, I don't want to move them up too quickly. And you know, it's tough running varsity AA, and I want them to try to have some success at the JV level, which Lily has been. I mean, she's been first or second in the last couple JV races. Nora was able to place in Madison, so. Yeah, I want them to have a little bit of success before I have to move them up to the varsity level.
Any other girls that you're kind of thinking, you know, maybe we could elevate them here as we move forward?
Right now I'm struggling with if we're going to be able to fill a team by the time we get to ESD or not. We just have, you know, some of the other girls need to pick it up more in practice and work harder. It's not easy. If you want to run at the varsity level, you need to be willing to put in the work at practice. And right now, I'm not seeing that. I'm hoping by the time we get to ESD, I'll find one or two more runners that'll be able to fill that fifth position. But yeah, right now I'm hoping just to get four girls for sure by the time we get to ESD.
To the boys' side, I guess we'll just start with, you have a major injury, and I mean major.
Yeah, you're not kidding there. Yeah, it was heartbreaking as a coach. But yes, for TJ Lean, who put in a ton of miles, I talked to him about you earlier. I mean, he just put in a ton of miles this summer and worked hard, and we had our, you know, first full week of practice, and we had a couple speed workouts in there, and we, after our tempo run, he kind of was limping a little bit, saying his shin hurt, so we had him bike the next day because we listened to the trainer, and then the next week he biked for a few days or went swimming over at the Norby. Thursday he tried to do a shakeout run on the grass and it bothered him, and Friday he was told, he went to Dr. Will Carr, and you know, Dr. Carr said, hey, if it's hurting him after warm-ups, he shouldn't run. And TJ knew that, and he's like, he's a competitor, you know, it's hard to keep them down, and that's not what did it. But he ended up, we found out later that he did have a stress fracture. So, you know, he tried to get it out, but you just can't run through those things. You have to let it heal. So that's the process we're going through now. He's going to therapy, trying to get it healed. He would love to be able to run at state. But you know what? We just want him to get better. He's a junior. He's got a whole nother year ahead of him.
And to reiterate that, he is a returning all-conference, all-state runner.
Yes, and I think that is probably the most devastating thing, even for him. He had big goals this year, and he worked really hard to go after them, and he is a leader on the team. The last couple weeks, he's been doing swim workouts at the Norby. He's been going to physical therapy, and he hasn't been around his teammates. And you can tell. You can tell that his presence there is missed. And, you know, I talked to him, and I said, you know what, we want you back. Come back. We need you a part of this team, like, here with us. So he's going to start bringing his bike and biking with the team. But yeah, he's definitely a leader on the team. He's really matured into a great leader, and we need him, and he's missed.
Well, you do have some other boys you know, with experience, so you know, just gotta put, you know, you put out the kids there that are ready to go.
Yeah, we have our, you know, core runners. We have Will Knipling and Cameron Cutshaw, who are our two seniors that have been with us since they were sixth and eighth grade. And so they've been running varsity all season. Alec Pester and Angelo Medina have stepped up. They're running varsity this year. They're juniors. Right now, after the Aberdeen meet, we kind of had a little heart-to-heart. You know, it's fine if you want to run together and you're at the front of the pack, but we're not going to run together at the back of the pack. So, you know, they need to step it up, work a little bit harder. New this year, we have Tegan Lean, TJ's little brother, who is a freshman. He decided to run cross country this year, and he ran varsity in Madison and placed top 15 in Madison. And then I ran him JV at the Aberdeen meet, and he won the JV race. He's a competitor, and he's enjoying running. And I had to move him up for this meet because there's a limit due to having 22 teams here. So Tegan got moved up to varsity, and I'm still in a varsity team, but his 5K time right now is the fastest on our team.
And with that, we'll go to today and talk with Angie Thomas, head cross country coach for the Huron Tigers. As I said at the beginning, a big day here on Invitational, and last count, 22 teams. That means you're full at the start line and actually have to limit runners per team, but you know, that's what it is. It's always a popular meet. Everybody likes our course.
Yeah, we have a great course, and a lot of people, especially our West River schools, we do have, I should say, the Madison coach, he loves our course too. We have some hills in there. I know it's not, you know, the most fan-friendly, and on a coaching standpoint, Coach King and I are putting in a lot of miles running around watching all those races, but it is a great course, and I truly believe we have the best course in the state. And you know, we don't have the state meet this year, but we should be getting it back. Jeez, I should look at the schedule, shouldn't I? I believe it'll be 2 years. I think it's going to be in Rapid City next year, and it's in Sioux Falls this year. So, yeah, teams definitely love to come to our course and run, and Terry Rodert does such a great job getting the course ready, and we host a great meet.
And with that many teams, obviously we're going to see the top runners in the state.
Yeah, we have, well, Pierre has a phenomenal runner right now, and Jared Lutmer, he's running really great. I see he did get beat by a Rapid City Stevens runner at the Augustana Twilight. Stevens isn't going to be there this year, but, yeah, we have some great runners, Sioux Falls Lincoln. We have Sturgis has a lot of great runners in the top, you know, 25 in the state. So, yeah, it'll be Brandon Valley, Aberdeen Central. Yeah, we definitely will have some great runners. It'll be a great competition, both boys and girls, and it's homecoming week. I hope we can get some people out there to watch us and support us.
You know, and that's the thing, too. You know, these are the type of meets you get everybody out there, too, because there's varsity, there's JV, and there's a middle school run, too. So, you know, just get some excitement going there. A lot of kids are going to be able to run.
Yeah, it is. It's a great meet. And like I said, I know everybody's tired from the football game and up late, but, man, it would be great to have some fans come out here, that's for sure.
Well, wrap it up, and basically about at the middle point of the season, maybe another week, but you know, you got a little bit of a blow there to the boys' team. Some other boys got to step up, and it looks like you're kind of challenging them on the girls' side. Well, Josie Vlieger, she's one of the top runners in the state now, so you know, there's some goals here down the stretch.
Yeah, we definitely have some goals, and you know, like I said, Coach King and I can – we can preach it, we can try to motivate them the best we can, but in the very end, it's the athletes that are out there doing the workouts and putting in the work, and it's how much effort they're willing to put in. It's not an easy sport. They can, you know, they get out of it what they put into it, and I tell them that often. So it's just, what kind of runner do you want to be? Where do you want to be at the finish line? What place do you want to be in when you cross that finish line, and are you happy with the way that you performed? And I guess if they're happy with how they performed, you know, that's on them. But, man, I think we have more potential. I believe in them, and I want to push them so they get to that point where they're giving it everything they have.
Angie Thomas, head cross country coach, Huron Tigers. Tigers hosting the Clyde Cotton today, the Huron Invitational. Last I heard, 22 schools are going to have runners, and, well, enough runners where they have to limit JV and varsity to 7 per school. There will also be a middle school event as well, all at Broadland Creek this morning. We'll talk some Huron Tiger football next on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, talk with Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger football. Tigers, an exciting win last night. They score late and defeat Sturgis 14-10. And coach, with all the homecoming distractions and things like that, just start with that. I know you said on Wednesday you thought the kids seemed to be focused, and obviously, you know, the game had its ups and downs last night, but the boys made the big play when they needed to, and the defense, well, bent a little bit at times, held Sturgis to 10 points. That kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I mean, our guys did a fantastic job of just coming out last night and really staying focused on the task at hand and just competing out there against Sturgis. Our defense, they've been pretty great all season. I mean, they do a good job of bending and not breaking the whole time, you know, and we were able to keep it and continuously just move the ball, although we did have things that hurt us to stop our runs and things like that. But, you know, I thought we did an okay job on offense of moving the ball. You just got to clean up some of those things and, you know, make some of those catches there in the first half that we dropped. And, you know, our kids did just a great job of just coming out and putting everything else aside with all the distractions and getting a win.
And the game started with our first touchdown drive, a little over 4 minutes, pretty much the way you would have scripted it. A few passes, a few runs. I think we converted a big fourth down in the process as well, and then Cashton runs it in.
Yep. I mean, you know, when we came out and we did that first drive, you know, both of us on the field, or me and Brightspin, we were both kind of sitting there. We're like, oh, this could be really fun tonight, you know, just moving the ball like we did. And then, unfortunately, we hit some hiccups and had some miscommunications things just either on our line or skill guys and drop passes. So, you know, those are the things that we got to clean up so we can just have those long drives. And those were one of the things that, you know, last year we didn't do a very consistent job out of just having a drive on the field. And, you know, we got to have those types of drives if we want to win the games, because then we can control the clock and keep their offense off the field. And, you know, best defense is having your offense on the field the whole time and controlling that clock. So, you know, our guys did a really good job coming out right away, opened up and ready to go. And, you know, we just got to continue to progress off of that and continue to build off of that for the future games.
You know, in that first half, it was almost 16-8, almost 2-1 on the time of possession in favor of us. The second half went almost completely the other way. But in that first half, you know, we had one long drive where I think we held the ball almost 6 minutes and ended up punting. But yet, you know, while you want to score, on the other hand, you know, the Hederman kid didn't have the ball in his hands for Sturgis.
Yep. I mean, those things are... That's just what we got to continue to do and work on those things. You know, I thought we did an okay job. You know, yeah, we drove the ball down. We just couldn't find the way to get in the end zone. I think that was the drive where we fumbled a snap and then we tripped on our own throw with nobody in the backfield with us. So we just got to clean up those things. We can't have those things happen, you know, if we want to continue to score and compete against, you know, these better teams that we got coming up.
You know, second half, as I said, the script kind of flipped with Sturgis starting to control the ball again. We pretty much just bent. You know, they did have the touchdown in the first half, and then the second half we held them to a field goal, even though it seemed like they were just moving the ball constantly.
Yep, it seemed like, you know, any time they were on the backside of that 30, they were moving the ball and they were able to, and then all of a sudden we'd kind of crunch down there and they ended up getting closer to the red zone. But, you know, fantastic job to our defense and their line and the seniors that we got out there and the guys that are out there. You know, I know a lot of those guys on defense played really well for us, and a lot of guys stepping up like Cashton and Logan getting picks during that game, and, you know, just our linebackers flying around and moving around and making plays.
And I know I after I look back at my stats after we had the post game last night, I did have it wrong. I said after they made the field goals when we came back and scored, but it was actually after their missed field goal where we came back and scored. And just go to that, you know, the offense had been a little stagnant there in the second half. Well, we ran the ball well in the first half, couldn't get that going in the second half. But I know I asked you last night, I'll just ask you again, when we got the ball back there after the missed field goal, was that... Let's just chuck it down the field and see what happens, because we had been doing a lot of short passes.
Yeah, we had been doing a lot of short passes. We noticed their safety was rolling up more, so they only played with three deep back there, and their one was kind of creeping the edge. So we were just trying to find the mismatch. You know, I know that they had that really good kid sitting out on CJ the whole time, so I was trying to move guys around to figure out who they were following. And so finally at that time, we were like, hey, we got it. And, you know, we let Gavin. It's hard to cover both of them when you got CJ and Gavin out there, so we just got to figure out which one they're targeting and which one they're trying to cover, so we can move the other one around and get them open. And those wide receivers did a fantastic job of not being selfish and saying, no, I want to be on this side. They did a great job. When I ever move them around, they just go to where I want to. And, you know, they really put the team first. And yeah, it was pretty much just, you know, our run game was kind of at a halt, and so we were like, you know what, let's take a shot here, and here we go. And, you know, it happened to work out. Fantastic throw, good pocket, and Gavin makes a nice catch and runs it all the way down and gives our team, you know, a lot of momentum going into that last final minutes of the game.
You know, Neil, we had to hang on there a bit, but we were able to hold Sturgis twice. And, you know, that last snap Sturgis had, we talked about it last night too. It was fourth and what, seven, I believe it was. And first off, I think we got a break where it looked to me at least like the snap came early and Hederman wasn't ready for it. And then, boy, Tyson Fitzer came in completely untouched, and the smallest defensive end in South Dakota, you know, Hederman was forced to get rid of it before he wanted to.
Yep. I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit. Fitzer, he was playing that DN the whole game, and, you know, I know in the first half they were coming after him pretty good, And, you know, but he didn't. He just kept going, and kept doing his job, you know, which is great if we have kids just run out there and do their assignments no matter what or no matter who they're standing up against on the line because, you know, in the end, he made a fantastic play for us, and, you know, that helps us out. It would have been nice offensively in our last drive to be able to get a first down and kind of seal the deal, but unfortunately, you know, they were stuffing our run game. They were bringing the blitzes, and, you know, we just kind of got flustered there, and we tried to take a shot just to get a first down, and it didn't work out. But, you know, our defense did a fantastic job out there.
You know, now talk about the defense, because Holden Haig, for his defensive effort, was the player of the game last night, and just kind of is the way I always look anyway. We run up basically a 3-4 on defense, and in a 3-4, the linemen just are supposed to create havoc, because those two inside backers, they're the ones that need to make plays. Colby Hofer, who was a little banged up, and Holden Haig made those plays all night, it seemed like, and both guys have basically shoulders kind of hanging onto their bodies.
Yeah, I mean, those two do a fantastic job, and I can't ever give those two enough credit. They're constantly watching film. They're constantly in improving, and, you know, they'll come back, and they'll know when they miss a read or they were looking in the backfield and things like that. So it's really good to have guys on your team that, you know, push themselves to that kind of level, and they do a fantastic job. Our D-line in front of them, you know, needing double teams, you know, with Brian Ramirez and those guys that are in there and Connor Johnson, and they're able to create the havoc to create those free lanes for the linebackers to step up and make the tackles. You know, they just do a fantastic job of getting in there and doing their assignment and filling.
And, you know, go on that to the, you know, go back to the O-line again. I don't believe there was a sack last night, so that's 3 out of 4 games with, you know, Colton did have to, you know, did make some plays with his feet as well. But when the running game was working in the first half, Cashin was about as patient as a running back could be, and he was following, it seemed like mainly Ramirez and the Jackson Reno, or Chumley and the Jackson Reno, you know, they were doing a lot of pulling, Cashin was almost being overly patient. That's what, and that, you know, that gave our running game a little boost in the first half.
Yep. I mean, in the first half, we were just looking to run outside. You know, we had success with it last year, so we kind of came back to it, because on their one side, they play a 4-2-5, and they don't roll down on the one side, so we were able to get the edge on them. You know, our guys did a fantastic job, and they did pull a lot, so they were having to move, you know, which I was kind of afraid of, just of them getting tired, but they did a fantastic job of sticking with it and doing it all game and cashing and relaxing. And I thought there was a couple times there he could have snuck it around and just beat his pullers, but, you know, he's just doing his job of where he's supposed to go and wait for his pullers to make a block and then find a seam and go. And, you know, there's another guy on offense too with Haig. He played a lot of offense last night, and he would actually be the one to seal that edge on our sweeps in the first half. And, you know, he does a fantastic job no matter where he's at of just doing his job and, you know, not being selfish and just going after it as a team effort and helping his guys out.
And just overall, everybody had contributions last night. Again, while it seemed like Sturgis was moving the ball, they only scored 10 points. Seemed like that Jost kid had about 130 yards rushing, but I think it was under 50 by the time you look at the stat book. And a lot of that goes to the first half where they just didn't see the ball enough.
Yep, I mean, we did a good job right away of stopping them and holding them off, and, you know, they got a fantastic team. That quarterback's definitely a dual threat for them.
He's a top athlete. He's a two-time hurdle champion, I was told.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what their coach said. He's won state hurdles twice.
Yep, I mean, he's an athlete, you could tell, and he really stretched the field and held our linebackers there, you know, so we really couldn't help out and pass drop for our middle linebackers and our linemen, and, you know, we can't give him an open seam. You know, in Aberdeen, he had a couple open seams and took them all the way for a touchdown. So, you know, I thought our guys did a great job of containing him and holding him in and forcing him to throw the ball even when there wasn't, you know, not a lot of guys open. So, you know, hats off to our guys and just continuing to cover that even when he was able to extend the pocket and move around and, you know, extend that time. And our guys stayed on their guys and did their jobs.
So now it's Aberdeen next week and 3 road games in a row as well. Now, Aberdeen has not played. They'll play tonight. They're in the Colonel Bowl down in Mitchell, so you'll get a chance to watch that. But, you know, when you just go by the last 2 weeks, last week Aberdeen defeated Sturgis 21-14. We beat them 14-10, so you'd think, you know, we're kind of, for a third straight week, should be a team that looks a little bit like us again.
Yep, I mean, it'll be fun to play Aberdeen. We just get back into the grind of, you know, they run kind of like everybody else, where they run power counter or ISO, so we're going to have to figure out how to defend that again and just kind of move around from there. And, you know, I'm going to probably take away a lot of film footage just from their Sturgis game, because Sturgis kind of like us. They like to spread the field and run it and, you know, throw it once in a while. So, you know, get a lot of film from Sturgis and then just look how they play Mitchell. I know Mitchell runs some of our formations too, so it'll be good to get a couple films from these guys and see kind of what they run and hopefully give our guys the best opportunity and best chance to have success against Aberdeen. I know they got a few more numbers, so they don't have as many guys that plays both ways, if any of their linemen do. But yeah, it'll be a fun game for our guys, and our guys should be able to compete with Aberdeen.
And to wrap it up with this, the homecoming noise is now in the rearview mirror, and you come out of it with a win. Best case scenario there. Also, two homecoming wins in a row here now for the program, and onward and upward.
Yep. I mean, I told these guys at the beginning of the week, you know, last year we won our homecoming, so we wanted to start a tradition of trying to win that homecoming game every year, you know, just to give our guys a push. And
The black jersey thing, is that going to be a thing now here too?
Yeah, I think it is, if we can remember and keep all the numbers and figure out what numbers we got to change for guys that we don't have numbers anymore, because actually the number 9, I think, was Hines when he played. I think that was when he broke his arm in like 2008 or 2017 or something.
He was 5.
Oh, he was 5?
Yeah, Kobe Bush wore 9.
Okay, yep, because, yeah, I'm missing a couple of them, so yep. Yeah, but they like going all black for the homecoming game. And, you know, we have a fantastic crowd out there, and I love the crowd, you know, for homecoming. The crowd just feels like it would fill the stands, and, you know, it's packed in there. So, you know, we're just excited, and hopefully we can continue to have a crowd like that each game and continue to ring the bell for the community and have their support behind us.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers, an exciting 14-10 homecoming win over Sturgis last night here on now 2-2 on the season, off to Aberdeen next Friday. Some Twins baseball coming up as we wrap up Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
We are here with Rich Bragg from Slumberland Furniture in Huron. And Rich, the Labor Day sale continues here at Slumberland.
That's right. We're so excited to have the state fair in Huron. And so that means all of us got out and enjoyed our fair food. But maybe that means you didn't have time to come into Slumberland and take advantage of these great deals. So I have so many people asking, hey, can I still get those great Labor Day sale prices? And the answer is yes. The sale continues here at Slumberland. We're honoring all of our Labor Day prices. We have up to 60% off list price throughout the entire store. We have amazing doorbuster specials. We have some mattress specials that are just phenomenal. The power bases where the head lifts up so you can adjust the bed, those start as low as $499 for a queen. We've got queen-size mattresses starting as low as $149. But I do want to say a couple of the doorbusters are limited quantities. So we have had one or two of the items that have now run out, and there's a few others that we're close on. The 60% off store-wide does continue through the 19th, but I would say you better hurry up because some of these doorbusters are selling out. We want to get in and get as many people to get a great deal on their new furniture as we can.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
Good morning. Wrap things up here on Dakota Sports Saturday. A couple of notes on Twins baseball. The Twins' magic number, I believe, down to 7 now after a second consecutive 10-2 win over the Chicago White Sox in Chicago last night. Twins scoring got started on yet another Grand Slam home run by rookie Royce Lewis, his 5th of the season, and all 5 have been, I believe, now in the last 6 weeks. Lewis talked about the at-bat and said, was he surprised that it was a fastball that came his way in that situation?
No, you know, I was actually looking for it maybe down and in. That's where he was trying to execute some fastballs there in that at-bat, and he threw it a little bit over the middle of the plate there and just took advantage.
And the fact he hit another grand slam, what's that mean to him?
That was special, and I get to do it with all my friends and my teammates and my family here, so it really meant a lot, and I'm just excited I got that ball back, and let's just keep doing more. That'd be great.
And Lewis talked about the fact we're still in a pennant race and there's still a lot of season left to play. You just also want to keep playing hard.
This game is so hard, you know, and it could be taken away from you at any point. I know that of the best of them, and I just want to play and have fun and take advantage of the opportunity that I get to be a big leaguer each and every day. And so that's where that comes from. I got to keep working and keep showing them that, you know, I belong here, and that's what I'm trying to do.
And manager Rocco Baldelli says, what's the dugout like when Royce gets up with the bases loaded? He's been up a few times where he hasn't hit a grand slam.
Well, obviously you get excited. I mean, he's done it so many times already this year with the bases loaded. But, I mean, you kind of can't believe what you're seeing as it's playing out. I mean, this is Major League Baseball. This is not, you know, someone just, you know, throwing some BP to you and you're just taking home run hacks. I mean, and he's making good, I just talked about the controlling the zone and making good swing decisions. he's putting himself in a position to do these things, and he's not missing his pitch, but he's getting there by taking tough pitches. He's taking pitches that, you know, guys swing at in this league, and he's taking them out of the zone. He's waiting for what he's looking for. He's obviously recognizing these pitches good and early, and he's not missing right now.
Twins continue the series tonight in Chicago. White Sox have looked a little listless so far. Pablo Lopez gets the start for the Twins pregame at 5:30 this evening on KOKK. That wraps up this edition, Dakota Sports Saturday Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron, is up next. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.